Let us pray. God, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would lead us into the mystery of you, Jesus, being high and lifted up, and you, Jesus, being servant of all. Lead us in that way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So can you imagine being part of the 12 and having two of your disciple friends come to Jesus and say, try to work a side deal when the kingdom comes? Hey, Jesus, we want you to do anything that we ask. Like, what a question is that? What parent would say, okay? I mean, of course not, right? Because likely they'd ask for something that might not be good for them. Is that right, parents? Do kids sometimes do that? I think so. I want to stay up all night. Well, no. No. I want to eat a whole box of cookies. No. You have to be an adult to do that, right? And the disciples were indignant with the two, and Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Can you hear Jesus say that? I don't know what tone he'd use, but probably understanding. It's like, guys, you don't understand what you are talking about. The same God spoke the same words to Job. Some feel like it might be Job's so-called counselor, Elihu, and says this that we heard in our reading. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? God just minces no words when we as humans speak in ways that are nonsense or speak in ways that would be hurtful, perhaps to us or to others. Jesus did not learn obedience by being corrected. Can you imagine that? Really? Jesus did not learn obedience by being corrected. Jesus learned obedience by being obedient. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward just saying it, but it's quite revolutionary. It's quite amazing that his desire was to do the will of the Father. And even as high priest, as the Hebrews says that he was a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, this raised up, in some ways, the priest was still a servant. This priest, the Levites, were dedicated as servants. They didn't have anything to do with it. You were born a Levite. You were born into the family, and as a result, you were a high priest. And so there's no sense of, being raised up and exalted. It's the writer to the Hebrews says, every high priest taken from among humanity is appointed in things pertaining to God that they might both offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And we know that the high priest on the Day of Atonement first sacrificed sin, offered sin on their own behalf, for their own sin, before they then went into the Holy of Holies and offered sin on behalf of the people. Since he himself and the priests were men, since he himself is also subject to weakness, because of this he is required as for the people, so for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. Growing up, I thought that the priest, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and no one taught me this, but just Sunday in, Sunday out, we also went Saturdays, I thought that the priest was someone different than me. I don't think we ever had a priest in our home. I can't remember. Occasionally, I know that the priest talked to our catechism class, but I wasn't an altar boy, so I didn't really have any interaction with priests. And I thought that they were kind of a different order of person than me. And that got in the way when I felt called and tried to respond to God's call to serve. God had to overcome that misunderstanding, even though it wasn't conscious. And I wonder how many of us have that understanding. Partly I told the story of getting pulled over for speeding to say, I don't know if that ever happens to you, but it happened to me. And I struggle just like you do with all the struggles that you struggle with. And so hopefully we're in this together. Hopefully. And then it's a form of service in my life that I was called to do the thing that I do. And I always want to be more effective, be more faithful. Jesus, as this high priest, learned obedience through obedience, learned obedience through suffering, dedicated to the call of offering his life as a ransom for many. No high priest ever did that. A high priest offered sacrifice, yes, but not himself. And so Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, was both high priest and sacrifice. Now, the high priests, the Levitical high priesthood, had all sorts of gear. I have some gear, right? The undergarment, I'm not going to show too much here, but the alb is just basically a plain covering so that I don't need to be flashy with my fancy kind of duds underneath. I'm just white. It's a white, plain thing. And the stole on top is to designate that I have been ordained priest. If I was a deacon, as many of you know, it would be over to the side like that. So it's a stole, S-T-O-L-E. And then I wear the chasuble because we're celebrating Eucharist, and it's like dress up. And I kind of am a big green sign to say we're still in Trinity, Pentecost. It's kind of a confusing time of year, but it's a season of growth. And so this calling, this service, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. But I would ask you if you're better at it than me, for sure. That'd be stupid, right? Not to. And so how do we work together and get it right? So the priesthood of the day, they wore gear, and there were layers of gear. And part of that was to remind them that they were to carry the people of Israel on their hearts, and that they bore a burden, and God was clearly the burden bearer, and Jesus came. Anyone who has burdens, come and be yoked to me. And so that was the idea. There were 12 stones engraved with the names of the tribe of Israel on a breastplate that they had to get fitted with and wear as they went into the Holy of Holies. And on the shoulder straps were stones engraved with the names of all the tribes. And again, this was to remind the priest that they carried the people, and it was to engender, to stir the compassion of the high priest. Now, Jesus had this from the earliest days, this compassion for Israel, that he was to be the redeemer, the one who would redeem all Israel. He became Israel and bore the brokenness of the entire nation and the entire world to open a new and living way. It was a complicated thing to worship at the temple. There were different sacrifices. There were different offerings. If you wanted to go and just offer a thank offering, not just, but to offer a thank offering, you could do that. And the priest and the priest's subordinates would make sure that that was done properly. If there was a goat or a dove or a bull, which would obviously be a huge commitment to offer, unless, of course, you were rich, the offerings were in light of what you were able to offer. Joseph and Mary offered a turtle dove because they were poor. It was the acceptable offering for a poor person. And so, can you imagine? It was a bloody business. You had to buy your animal and then make sure that it was without blemish, and then it was slaughtered in a ritual way. I mean, it was a bloody business. This sacrifice for sin to be made acceptable to come into the presence of God, and only the high priest could come into the Holy of Holies. And so Jesus does this radical transformation of the whole system of worship. No doubt he upset some people, because he wasn't a Levite. So what is this high priest stuff? And Savior? Wait, he's the Messiah? Well, he didn't come through the channels that we normally do. Can you see people start just to shake? That's not the way we do it around here, right? That's true for all of us, right? We all have our ways of doing things, and when someone comes and does them a different way, we get sometimes twitchy. Is that true with you? Isn't it great when you have like a Thanksgiving meal and someone says, "I'll come in the kitchen and help you," and you go, "Oh, please." You know, why? Because you have the things that you do the way you do them, right? And so Jesus came, but he wanted to free us from this burden and lead us into a new and living way. So the high priest came from a specific descent, as I said. Every priest originated from Jacob, Abraham's grandson, whose name was changed to Israel. And you might see where this is going. Jesus became Israel, okay? Took on Israel, became this faithful servant. Every priest came from Levi, again, one of the sons, one of Israel's 13 sons. Israel was Jacob. Stay with me. God set the tribe of Levi apart. There were the 12 tribes, and they all had land. Levi did not. Levi had flocks and herds as part of people's sacrifice. They would come, and the Levites could live off those, they and their families. Now, Levi had 3 sons. It's interesting. Although the sons were not priests, they had specific tasks associated to this moving tabernacle. God's presence was made manifest through this very ornate tabernacle. Read, it's incredible, really. They were gifted people, craftspeople, who were visited by the Holy Spirit and given gifts to make this tabernacle just right, just so. The 3 sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and each family line had their own duties associated with the tabernacle. That's what a big enterprise was. This was a huge enterprise. Worship, tabernacle, ultimately temple that became established in Jerusalem, and then a second temple, and was considered the center of the universe. It was the center of the maps. It was the center of worship. The family of Kohath had care of the tabernacle's furnishings. The family of Gershon had care of the tabernacle's screen, the veil, the fence, and the curtains. You think this is detailed? You should read Numbers. It's really fascinating, and I mean that. It's amazing the care with which these duties are meted out. And the family of Merari had the care of the boards, the pillars, of the tabernacle and the fence. Okay, they weren't priests, but they had a central role in this Levitical ministry around tabernacle and then temple. So the priesthood itself came through Aaron, the brother of Moses, of the family of Kohath. Aaron's family and their descendants made up the priests and the high priests, those able to serve in the tabernacle itself and to offer sacrifice to God. Okay, so the high priest was generally the eldest son of Aaron. Do you see how none of this, no one can say, yeah, pretty good, aren't I? I'm high priest. Well, it's just because you're oldest. Like, duh. Right? It's not about that. It's not about having prestige. It's simply discharging a duty that God has given. So it was not a popularly elected situation, but chosen by God. And that's, I think, what Jesus is saying to James and John, who want these elevated places in the kingdom. And Jesus says, those are only for the people appointed for them. Like, you don't rise to those. You are appointed to them. And then he said, the way there is through humble service, which, of course, Jesus modeled as high priest, and he learned obedience through suffering. Jesus came to free us from all of this heavy, detailed, sacrificial system. It served for a time, and then it became a burden. And so Jesus came as this spotless Lamb of God and offered himself the sacrifice, and was also this high priest. Now, it says in the order of Melchizedek, and some of you heard that. Some of you perhaps have done Bible study on that before. Melchizedek is this sort of mysterious figure who came out and met Abraham after Abraham was coming back from battle. And Abraham gave Melchizedek, the king of Salem, tribute. And usually the lesser gives tribute to the greater. And so something's being said here in Hebrews chapter 7. Feel free to look at that chapter. It's very interesting. It talks about this Melchizedek. was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, this name means king of righteousness. And then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Now, this is Jerusalem. He came from Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? You know, 1,000 years difference, and God is sending these types of Christ, the Savior, in this case, this Melchizedek. Melchizedek is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. Like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. You might go, what? I've never heard of Melchizedek. Well, Hebrews 7, and it'll lead you to the Old Testament reference when Abraham meets him. The point is that Jesus is unique in the order of Melchizedek. He is a priest forever. He was made perfect through suffering, meaning his death and resurrection. He was made perfect through obedience. This suffering servant who took the lowest place was despised and rejected. And I know we know these words, but to follow Jesus and to draw near is to be transformed, is to be saved from all of the accretions of being good and of offering sacrifice, blood sacrifice, to be right with God. We are right with God through Jesus Christ. And I go, that is so much better. It's so much more direct and straightforward. It's in a sense easier. But do you know what I mean by that? We don't have to go and offer sacrifice because the Son said, I'll go. The Son said, I will lay down my life. I will learn obedience through suffering. And I will model what it means to be a completely free human being. And I will invite others to come along. He's the great high priest. He knows how we suffer. He knows what we're tempted by. And he's able to bear us on his heart before the throne of God. We're told to have the same attitude as Jesus. First of all, to be saved by Jesus. If you're not saved, if you haven't ever heard of this good news that someone has come to save you from your dead ends, I have my own dead ends. Some of our dead ends are common ones, I know that, but we all have our particular dead ends. And Jesus has come to save us. If you haven't heard that message before, well then, receive Christ as Savior, who offered himself on a cross that he might free us from sin and death. Why did Jesus die? Well, come tonight to Alpha. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about. If tonight's the only one you come to, come at 6:30. Have dessert. And the title of the presentation at 6:30, a little after, but come for dessert at 6:30, is Why Did Jesus Die? If you're trying to make sense of this and it just doesn't make sense, come tonight. And we'll talk about this very thing. And once we've been saved and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we're to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And that is possible by God's Spirit. That's possible because God is powerful and his word is alive and active. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Think of James and John grasping greatness, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do I hear an amen? Jesus came and tore the temple curtain from top to bottom. It's the old order of things. Jesus has ushered in a new covenant in his blood, a new way of being in relationship with God. Praise him.